Okay, thank you for those tonight, Kathy, and thank you for playing. Take your Bibles tonight. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, as we continue our study in the work of the church, we're looking at the truth of the truth for the church. We looked at the integrity of the scriptures last week, and we will move on to the influence of the scriptures, as we look at this passage, these two verses that we're looking at, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, passage that we always look at for the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture. We come to this passage, it reminds us here, amongst other verses, but he notes all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so as we look at these verses, yes, we have that, but we also see the influence of the Scriptures. And may we never take lightly the influence of the Scriptures, the book that we hold in our hands. Yes, I trust truly it is for us, regardless of our age, a blessed book. Again, whether we're a young person or whether we're an older person, we tend to see it in the older folks because we've been at it, we've been in it longer, and it has become very much a blessed book, but it should still be a blessed book if we're just getting started reading through the Scriptures and having it part and parcel of our lives, because it is an influence and is to be the influence. It's what God uses to change us. God, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, takes the word that we read, that we hear, and that's what he uses to, as believers, to conform us into the image of Christ, to sanctify us, to grow us. It is the bread of life. It is the water of life. It is what God uses in the life of his children. And it should be, obviously, then very important to us to have it, to open it, to read it, to study it, because that is what God's going to use to change us. And I think once, you know, we do come to know Christ as our Savior, and God starts helping us to understand the truths that we have here, that desire that is there, the new life in Christ, starts to take shape, if you will, starts to come into focus, come into clarity, that yes, I'm a child of God. Yes, this is God's Word. And it's changing me in a good way. I mean, we may learn beforehand, before Christ, before knowing Christ, or afterwards, knowing that there are some things God expects of us. And again, if we grew up in a Christian home, those expectations are rooted in us because we hear it in Sunday school, the truths of the Word of God. And so it is helping us there to point us to Christ, but it's also getting ingrained, if you will. And sometimes, you know, people will then try to perform the Christian life without having a Christian life and meet with those frustrations. And sometimes that can come over into our Christian life once we have trusted Christ, that it is performance. It's me doing this. And we can get frustrated, you know, as a Christian, because we're trying to do it and not realizing that God is the one that does the changing. He's the one that molds and shapes us. We are to open up ourselves and not, again, from Saturday's ordination reminding us, it's not a let go and let God. We're not a zombie. We're not an inanimate lump of clay. We're not a puppet, a marionette that's just okay, Lord, go ahead. Lift up the arm strings so my arms can come up. Lift my legs. That's not Christianity. It is a joint working here. God uses us. God expects us to read His Word. He does. He's not going to read it for us. He expects us to be reading this Word. Now, could God read it for us and just put it in our heads? Yes, He's God. He could do that. But He has chosen not to. He wants to see some, and I say this in a good way, He wants to see some effort on our part. Again, not for performance, but Lord, here am I, send me, here am I, here's your word, I need to be reading it. That's my obligation. I need to open my eyes, I need to be focused on it, attentive and active with my mind reading it. And I say active with our mind reading it, because oftentimes we can read the scriptures, can't we? But we didn't read the scriptures. We read it, and 5 minutes later you may be hard-pressed, okay, what chapter did I read? What did I read? Because our mind is busy, you know, if it's at the beginning of the day, our mind may be busy out, okay, what have I got to do today? Yes, once I'm done with this, I've got to go do this, this, and this, and that. And our eyes are going across the page. We're seeing those words, but we're not interacting with them. They're not interacting with us. And so we need to be mindful of that. That's our part. As I've mentioned, you know, Psalm 119, verse 11, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open mine eyes. Let me be attentive to this. Let me be active in the interaction with your word so that you can change me, make me more Christ-like. And so we have the influence of the scriptures. Now, again, we have an adversary that doesn't want the influence of the scriptures in your life. And he will do our flesh, which can be mastered by God. Our flesh may not like it. What do you mean sitting here for 20 minutes reading the Bible? That's a waste of time. You need to be up and about doing things. And we've got other things we've got to do. I mean, we have things that are against us taking time with the Word of God and having it influence our lives. Because those other things know, if the Word of God is influencing you in the right way, then those things aren't going to be influencing you in the wrong way. Again, much like our walking, if we're walking in the Lord, following the path that He has for us, we're not on the wrong path. We're not going to be diverted. The world, the flesh, and the devil are, yes, it's there. They're always there. They're trying to pull us off the way, left or right, getting us off that course. But if we're staying focused on that, we'll be going where we need to be. God will be growing and maturing us. And so we see the influence of the scriptures with these verses. As he notes, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? It is profitable for doctrine. There is confirmation, if you will. There's doctrine, instruction. This word is what God wants us to, again, open up and read, learn. Yes, as we can memorize it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And bring it in so that, again, God can use it to change us, to mold us, to shape us, to confirm the truth of his word. And it helps us as we not just listen to me as the pastor, because I'm as a pastor, yes, I want our Bibles open. I mean, I expect to be teaching the truth from the scriptures, and I would trust that you are expecting that and wanting to hear that. And it is not my desire to have you just close your Bibles up and let me do the reading of it. while you sit there. We need to be interacting with that word that is here in front of us and letting it work in our lives and to confirm the truths that we have that he has laid for us in this word. And as we hear it, we can see, are they telling me the truth of this book? If we haven't been reading it, we're going to be hard-pressed to know. And whether that's me, and I realize in the day and age in which we live, there are, from a pastor's point of view, I don't like it. That there are other voices that can influence you. Now, I'm not a control freak, but that bothers me. Because there are lots of voices out there that don't echo what we have here from this pulpit. Believers have always had that. Whether it be a false prophet at another church or a false prophet popping into town trying to divert people away, as Paul would tell the Ephesians in Acts chapter 20, there are those outside, but there will also be some rising up inside that will draw you away from the truth. And when you consider what Paul was dealing with in that first century as opposed to what we're dealing with today, they're like, oh. the avenues for other voices to come in and influence you is far more than what Paul ever had to deal with the churches. I mean, we have the internet, we have the radio, we have podcasts, we have all sorts of things where we can hear the Word of God, and it may or may not be actually pointing us to the truth of this book. There may be a slight deviation that is drawing us away. We may not catch it at first. It may take us a little while to be a little farther off the path. I mean, you know, for flying, you know, a 1 degree course difference doesn't sound like much. I mean, it's only 1 degree. I mean, there's 360 of those things around a circle. 1 degree is not much, but let time and distance get there, and pretty soon you're not going to be where you expected to be at the end of your trip. I don't remember if it was 1 degree or a couple more degrees, but I did this as a chapel when we were teaching, and I did this for our high school students' chapel and had a picture for them to see what just a slight variation did to fly from Seattle to Miami. And the slight difference put them in Jacksonville, Florida, which if you know Florida, Miami's down at the bottom. Jacksonville is up near Georgia. And I said, so are you going to get to Miami with that slight insignificant deviation? To which the kids obviously, no, we're not going to be there. If we're going to be in Jacksonville, we're not going to be in Miami. I said, yes, we need to be careful and watchful. So it confirms, it helps us to see the truth. It gives us the teaching that God has for us that we can learn and be instructed thereby so that we can grow and learn the teachings that he has for us, this doctrine, the teachings of the Word of God. Confrontation. He moves on. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. The confrontation. Does the Bible step on our toes sometimes? I mean, I know we may refer to the pastor stepping on our toes. And I understand it's the preaching of the Word of God. I'm not doing it personally, but it's the Word of God stepping on our toes. There is sometimes God will confront us. And so that reproof gives the idea of exposing, convicting, disciplining in that regard. Not the broad discipline that we've touched on before, but yes, the confrontation disciplining and exposing, convicting, reveals the ability of the Word of God to draw attention to areas of the believer's life that need changing. And we may struggle with that. We may fight it, because usually it's going to be in an area of the world, the flesh, or the devil that has had influence previously. And now the Word of God has exposed that. There's the reproof, and we may buck at it for a while till God truly gets our heart. Or yes, we may thankfully, and I would say hopefully, when that truth comes and we are exposed and that reproof is there, we immediately take it and say, yes, Lord, thank you. Please forgive me. Cleanse me. And then, yes, Lord, give me strength. Give me wisdom. Give me your word. Give me the replacement that I need, since something needs to come out of my life. God, bring something back in that place so that whatever it is, doesn't come back. And the Word of God does that. And it's a good thing. Again, we may think it's not so good because, you know, we liked what we were doing, whatever it is. And when we've been exposed that that's not the good thing, then we need to see God replace it so that we can keep going for Him in that right direction. And so the Bible uses some metaphors to help us understand this confrontation. In Psalm 119, verse 105 notes this. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." As you think of that, you think of a lantern, let's say. You're out in the woods, you're hiking, you're going somewhere. You're using that lamp so that you can see where your foot needs to go next. It's giving you enough light, if you will, to proceed forward. You may not have enough to see where the destination is, but you have enough to do the next step, which then gives you enough light to take the next step. And God's Word has a way of doing that, helping us, yes, confronting, and the light is shining. Okay, yeah, there's something obstructing my path now. I need to make some corrections. And God's Word has a way of doing that for us. Verse 130, there in Psalm 119, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And I trust we all have realized at some point, and I still consider myself in many ways, we're still part of the simple. We're still learning. None of us have arrived. None of us will ever arrive in this life. And I shudder when I come across people who think that they have arrived with their knowledge of the Word of God and they don't need any more correction, reproof, doctrine. There's something a little wrong with this picture. There's always learning for us in the Word of God. Always. We will never get all of it because it's God's Word. And so we need to be humbled and remindful of that the entrance of thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 notes, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart." I mean, it is amazing what God does with his word as we read it. And it is, as we will see here in a moment, it is like a mirror to us. It shows us who we are. And sometimes that's not a pretty picture. And that's okay, because God's trying to clean up the picture with his word and helping us along that way. And so it is, again, the influence of the scriptures can be such a profound and good, I mean, it is a good thing. There is no not good thing when it comes to the word of God in the heart and life of the believer. James notes it's a mirror in chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. He says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that is the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And so James noted this, and we looked at this when we went through the book of James. We had a little humor with this, reminding us that James said, when a man beholds his face. I mean, us men, we typically, yeah, we'll look at a mirror, but we don't look at the mirror. We look at ourselves and move on. And really, yeah, forgot that, oh yeah, I should have shaved. I didn't. Well, you were right there. You were looking at the mirror. Yes, but my mind went on elsewhere, and I didn't pull out the razor, and on the way I went. Women, and I'm not looking at this in the vain way, but women are different. When it comes to mirrors, they will look. And we were talking about this, and our ladies got humorous because we have windows or mirrors at our doors. And if you will sit, particularly over here, since a lot of people come through that door, if you just sit in the fellowship hall and watch the ladies come in, there's a good chance they're going to stop in the entranceway and look at themselves in the mirror before they continue on. It's part of the female makeup. They want to make sure that things are correct. I don't blame them. I appreciate it. But guys, I have seen maybe one or two guys that have paused and looked at the mirror before coming in. But it's much rarer to see a guy stop at any of the mirrors when they come in. But the women, you typically will stop. Take a look, make sure everything's right. Now I can go in and see everybody else. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not putting it down. But he's noting here, men, you look and then you just go on. You didn't do anything. You missed the whole point. That's why the mirror was there. And God's telling us, this is the mirror, guys. Now open it up and let it show you what you need changed. And I would say, ladies, too. It will show us. And we need to respond to it. And so we have this idea of this confrontation. We see the correction as well. For reproof, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. The correction suggests the follow-up ministry after you've been rebuked. Again, the kind of the flip side. Here's the bad. Now here's the good that needs to be put in its place. God always has that. And brings that into us. And so as we see these things, he will also show us what we can, as we pull that out, again, the principle of replacement, as that which is bad is removed, God has things that we can put in there that are good and right and just and holy, so that that vacancy isn't brought back and filled with that which we just got rid of. And so we need to be mindful of that and say, Lord, you know, and it is a learning experience, and that's where, thankfully, we have prayer. God, we may be a newer Christian and say, okay, I get that. I've removed that, but what goes in its place? What can I put in there? God will help show you. Open up the Word of God and start reading. God will help us take care of those things and bring us to those places where we see the changes take place and the proper direction, the proper growth, the proper maturity to take place. And so we need the Word of God for that to happen and have it influence our lives, because it will be for the good. Regardless of how much change we may have to go through, it will be for our good, because God is conforming us into the image of His Son. And yes, that's a good thing. And as I've mentioned on several occasions, I think, you know, we are going to be Christ-like. You're a believer. God changed you. He gave you a new life in Christ. When you're in heaven and that salvation is complete, you will be Christ-like. Your new body will be like His body. You will be ready to stand in His presence. And so, yes, there is that process that is taking place in our lives from a moment we were transformed, the moment a new life was given to us, birthed at salvation. That is going towards Christ-likeness. Now, either we can go along happily, yes, Lord, change me, help me, or He can take us screaming and hollering. But one day we are going to pass from this life as a believer. And when we do, we'll be in His presence. And that which started at salvation will be complete. Kind of at this point, how drastic will that change take place? If we've been working with the Lord, allowing His Word to change us, it'll be a happy, welcomed experience. It may be a little more abrupt if we've been dragging our feet, been rebellious against God, saying, no, I don't think so, no, 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 no. God tends to take us home and say, yes, 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 yes. And here's the change. So may we understand that the influence of this book is a good thing. Even if we may not think it initially, it is a good thing. And God only has the good for us as we consider all that we have going on in our lives. We will continue on 2 weeks. We will be ending our Joe Willis meetings next Wednesday. So caught myself with the investment of the Scriptures as we will continue on for next week.